I think it's been 3 weeks now since I shared with you last time we got together. We talked about, remember what the title was? Me, Myself, and I. Really, just to highlight the fact that we are three distinct parts that all should be working together. We talked about what they are. They are spirit, small s, soul, and body. We talked a little bit about the role of each of those three things. And really for the purpose of getting us prepared to walk in the Spirit. Now, I don't want to lose you already, because walking in the Spirit is one of those things when you say it to some people, you say, okay, well, that's not me. I can't do that. I haven't been able to figure it out yet. But you know what? It is you, and you can do it. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. You know, soul is the middleman, right? We talked about that last time. Body, with all its senses, the sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch, is our connection to the physical world and all of the wonderful things that God created for us to enjoy, like sunsets, music, the feel of flannel sheets and a clean comforter on a cold night, the smell of food cooking, flowers or coffee in the morning, and so many other wonderful things created just for our enjoyment. Do you believe that God put all that detail into all of those things because He loves us that much? He wants us to enjoy this life and everything that He created for us. So the body is also supposed to be the tool of God, used His mouth, His hands, His feet to get the message out there to save the lost. And so everything that we talked about the last time, and it seems like it's going to be a Walking in the Spirit series. But at least last time we talked, it was really just all preparation to be able to understand the difference between how we were created, all those different parts of us, and how they function. We need to be able to discern the difference between the spirit, the soul, and the body if we're going to walk in the Spirit. So today's title is You Can Walk in the Spirit. I was at a teaching, it was actually a men's breakfast here many, many years ago when I first came to the church, and one of the teachers made a comment that I've remembered over time, and it was that when Jesus was walking out His ministry on earth, discernment was one of the greatest tools that He had to rely on in order to navigate the will of God, to stay in the will of God. Because He was fully God and fully man, He needed to be able to discern between the two. And you can see in one of His most difficult moments when He was crying out to the Father and He said, if this cup can pass from me, but He caught Himself, didn't He? He discerned that that was the flesh and He turned it right back around again to the Spirit and said, but not my will, Thy will. So you can see, you know, it says that Jesus shared in our sufferings, so He knows what we're going through. We can relate to Him, and you can see it at different points. So discernment is something I actually did a message on a while back. It's something that we need to practice. We need to practice that skill. We need to learn how to do this. We need to learn to be able to discern between our desires, our wants, our needs, and the desires of the Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. Isn't that what the Word tells us? So we can rely on that, not just at certain times, not just for a moment here or there, but we can walk this life with the Spirit of God, with the mind of Christ. We can walk it out. So Jesus, His example was showing us that we can do the same thing. So let's get into the reference scripture this morning. It's going to be Romans 8, 1 to 39. And it starts off and it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. How many would say, amen, God did it. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. These are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we persevere. With perseverance, we wait for it eagerly. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? What shall we say? If God be for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How many would say amen to the word of God? Woo, I was going to go with one verse. I usually do, but when I read this, I just, wow, wow, praise God. Thank God for entrusting us with his word, that we can have this word to rely on, to go to in times of trouble. When we're struggling, we have the word, and it's good for every situation. So let me start off with the first point that I want to make here from this scripture, and it is that walking in the Spirit, oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Let me go back. The first point is you are already qualified to walk in the Spirit. You heard it in the first few verses of the scripture we read. We are already qualified. He did that, not because of anything that we did. He qualified us to be his children. He qualified us to walk in the Spirit. How many sometimes would say, I just don't feel qualified to walk in the Spirit? I don't have 23 hours to give to meditation and, you know, deep time in the Word. I don't have the 23 hours. I haven't been walking with the Lord for, you know, for 35 years. Well, I know people that have walked with the Lord for 35 years that still can't walk in the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit no matter where you are. Right now, it can happen. In Romans 8, 20 and 30, it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined. You are predestined to walk in the Spirit. You are predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. We just read that. Do you understand? You are qualified to walk in the Spirit. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. It says that the requirement of the law is fulfilled in those who walk according to the Spirit. We walk out our salvation by walking in the Spirit, not by trying to be good enough. Not by works. He already made us good enough. By his mercy, by his grace, by his great love that he pours out on us every minute of every day through Christ Jesus. In fact, it says in verse 12, it says, not only are we predestined, justified, glorified, or AKA qualified to walk according to the Spirit, but it says that we have an obligation to do so. Did you miss that, or did you hear that part? We have an obligation to walk by the Spirit. This is why we need to learn how to discern to walk in the Spirit, because that is where he is. That is where we relate to him. That is where we hear from him. That is where we get direction. Remember, it is in the Spirit, our spirit, small s, where we have God consciousness. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Right? Jesus put on his robe of righteousness. He clothed us with his righteousness. Can you hear it? You're qualified. Every single one of us are qualified to walk in the Spirit. The second point is walking in the Spirit is possible for everyone. You know, for me, it used to seem like walking in the Spirit was like walking underwater. Like if I could get a good breath, maybe I could get into the Spirit for like 45 seconds, maybe a minute. But then I had to come up for air. It just felt like being in the Spirit was so different, so difficult, that it felt literally like I was underwater, holding my breath, hoping I could stay in the Spirit for just another couple of seconds. Or maybe you could get some tanks and some gear, some expensive equipment, and you could deep dive, and hey, maybe you could spend, you know, a couple of hours in the Spirit. But you're still limited by the air and the tanks, right? They don't last forever. But that's the way walking in the Spirit used to be for me. Being in the Spirit was like being underwater. And it was something that I could only do for a short period of time, if I could do it at all. The whole thing just seemed tiring and impossible. But I have learned that I can walk in the Spirit and be fully man at the same time, and I can do it all the time, and so can you. I have a long way to go. I'm not where I want to be, but I can see even just a few steps ahead what I need to do to go deeper in the Spirit, to draw closer to Him, because that's where He is. Does He come to our level? Absolutely. He's a loving Father. He'll do that. But isn't He always calling us deeper? Well, there's a reason for that. You know, walking in the Spirit is also a progression. Walking in the Spirit is basically walking in obedience to the Word. But let's take one thing. Let's take forgiveness. Okay, you could walk in the Spirit. Maybe you're at the level where you have to forgive somebody for just bad talking you, calling you a name, or just talking behind your back. You forgive somebody at that level. But guess what? There's another level. The next level is, can you forgive somebody for slapping you in the face? And then when you get to that level, the next level might be, can you forgive somebody for spitting at you in the face? And so no matter what fruit of the Spirit you choose, no matter what level of obedience, there is always a greater level. And if you're at the point where you just have to forgive somebody for saying something you don't like, well, hey, guess what? That's your level of walking in the Spirit right now. And you can walk in that. And it is walking in the Spirit. And maybe somebody over here is walking in the Spirit at a different level because, hey, they can have somebody spit in their face and they won't feel it for a second. They won't feel any offense whatsoever. They'll start praying for them right away. That's another level. But you can walk in the Spirit where you are right now. It's not an exclusive club. It's available to every single believer. But believing is the key, isn't it? It's in the struggle where faith is strengthened and our walk goes deeper. We achieve greater levels of victory. I love the scripture. It's one of my favorite ones. You know that by now, where it says in James 1:2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, that's one of my favorite scriptures because where I've met God in the most powerful ways are in the midst of my trials. And so you know what? Those trials didn't really seem like trials after, because I was with God. You know, your trials are going to drive you closer to God if you do it in the right way. If you look for Him in the trials versus grumbling and complaining, you will find Him. And so Pastor was saying this morning, we have to go through some stuff. But everything that we go through has the opportunity to make us stronger. Not in ourselves, stronger in Him. Stronger in how we understand His faithfulness, His goodness. When He meets us in those places where if He doesn't show up, it's not going to turn out well. He always shows up. He's the hope that never disappoints. We have to remain aware that the Spirit and the flesh are opposed to each other. They're in opposition. We read that. So there's going to be a need to dig your heels in when the flesh rises up and tries to do all the things that the flesh tries to do to get you to respond in a fleshy way. Try to figure it out yourself, solve it yourself. We have to remember that when we try to walk in the Spirit, there's going to be a fight. It's not going to be something that is just going to, the flesh is going to just allow to happen. Doesn't mean it doesn't get easier over time. It just means that there's a struggle. And we have to be aware of that and be ready for it and see it coming and not be surprised by it. And then if you see it coming and you know you're not surprised by it, guess what? You're more prepared for it. You know, you cannot forgive unless there's a reason for you to forgive. You cannot exercise patience until there is a need to be patient. You cannot show faithfulness unless you are tested to see if you're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing. You cannot perfect praying for your enemies if you have no enemies. But when we walk in the Spirit, it says the Spirit overcomes our weaknesses. So I don't know about you, but you know, I want my weaknesses to be overcome. I want to walk in the victory that Christ paid for me, to be able to have somebody spit in my face and my first reaction is to lay hands on them. That's freedom, right? You're bound when you're carrying a grudge. It's a weight that comes on you. But when you're free in the way that Christ set us free, somebody can walk right up to you, spit in your face, and your first response is, "Hallelujah, Lord, I just lift up my brother or sister here. Touch them, Lord." That's your first response. You can get there. We can get there. How many are there? How many would like to get there? See, that's one of the things that we can be very encouraged about, is that we have a heart for God. You have a heart for God. You want to walk in the Spirit. We're going to go quickly through some of this stuff. Point number three, walking in the Spirit as we live our lives. So can you walk in the Spirit and be a good father? Can you walk in the Spirit and be a good husband? Can you walk in the Spirit and be a good wife, brother, sister? Again, can I just do one or the other? If I have to be a dad, do I have to come out of the Spirit for a while to be a dad? If my wife wants to have a conversation with me, do I have to say, "Excuse me, I have to come out of the Spirit for a second so we can have a conversation"? No. No. There is never a need to pull us out. In fact, we can be a better dad. We can be a better wife. We can be a better husband, brother, sister, if we're in the Spirit. Because when you're in the Spirit, you're not going to react. You're going to respond. In the Spirit, you're going to be operating in all of the fruits of the Spirit, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So you don't have to excuse yourself. Let me get out of the Spirit for a second so we can have a conversation. You don't have to do that. You can do both. You can do it in the Spirit. So do you see, you can live in the Spirit. You don't ever have to come out of it. And it should be encouraging. It encourages me. Because I used to think it was one or the other. Oh, I'm going to work, so I'm going to, you know, get to work at 6 a.m. I'm working till 3, I can get back in the Spirit at 3. No, I can be walking in the Spirit the whole time I'm at work. Everywhere I go, the Spirit of God comes with me. And if I let the Spirit drive, as we said before, not be the navigator, but if I let the Spirit drive, I can walk in the Spirit through every aspect of my life. And your faith is perfected in those times when God shows up, when you need Him to show up. Sometimes God shows up, He shows up, He shows up, He keeps showing up, but you know what? We think that He's just going to stop doing it at some point in time. No, He's trying to show you, this is who I am, I will show up. And so we don't ever have to sink back to the same level again, which again causes us to walk more in the Spirit. When you trust God, when He shows up and He gives you a testimony, and you say to yourself, because the enemy will try to say, "Well, that was just a one-time thing." Or, "Was it really God?" You know, that famous, you know, he asked the question, "Was that really God?" And then you even start questioning yourself, "Was it God?" No. You gotta stomp on that lie. Right? The enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, destroy our testimonies. So you don't have to punch in and out of being in the Spirit. You don't have to cut it short if somebody interrupts you. Stay in the Spirit. Walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things it looks like. These are the things that we walk in when we're walking in the Spirit. And He gave us that. And in the Spirit, that is the abundant, overcoming life. Romans 8:37 says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer. Overwhelmingly conquer. Think about that. Just meditate on that for a second. Doesn't just say we conquer. It says we overwhelmingly conquer. How many watch football? What's a really good football score? Really, what's a high football score? 45? 45? So maybe when he says overwhelmingly, he means maybe like a 45 in football? No. He means maybe like a 45 million. Overwhelmingly conquer. I mean, we can't even, I say 45 million, you know, but you know what? I'm limiting the Spirit of God right there. It's far beyond, far beyond. And we have to allow ourselves to be taken far beyond our current level of thinking, our limitations in our thinking, the thinking that I can't walk in the Spirit, that's got to be crushed, because you can. And it's an obligation, as we read. If it's an obligation, do you think He's going to oblige us to do something that He then makes impossible for us to do? No, He wouldn't do that. He never sets us up for failure. Walking in peace is walking in the Spirit. If that peace is from the Lord, trusting in Him, it is that peace that passes or surpasses your understanding, not based on your circumstances. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard your hearts and your minds. Where do they reside? Does that reside in spirit or body? Resides in our soul, right? That part of us that needs to be saved, right? Have you ever been so focused on something that every decision you make seems to line up with that? Ever get it set in your mind that you're going to go buy a new car, or you're going to go buy this new tool, or you're going to go buy this new kitchen gadget? And eventually it happens, doesn't it? If our focus is being in the Spirit, guess what? It will happen. That's the way we're designed. That's the way He made us. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, right? So Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, when we're walking in the Spirit, all of those things should be seen. It's not, I'm walking in love, but I have no joy, no peace, no patience, no kindness. It says, actually, the fruit of the Spirit is. It doesn't say the fruit of the Spirit are. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. So think about a diamond and all of the different facets of a diamond that all reflect in different directions, but they're all part of the same diamond. Well, that fruit is all just facets of the same Holy Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, we should see all of those things, to some degree. Do you agree? Point number four is walking out the Word is walking in the Spirit. Hebrews 6:17 says, in the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, who we have taken refuge, would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the what? Of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. His Word should be our anchor. His Word should be our anchor. No, we don't need an anchor for our spirit. We don't need an anchor for our body. We need an anchor for our soul, because it's our soul where we have the greatest battle, our minds, our hearts. Remember, feed the soul. Our eye gates and our ear gates feed the soul. So what are we allowing into our eye gates? What are we allowing into our ear gates? These things are going to affect our ability to walk in the Spirit. When I was a young Christian, and even today I'll do it, I knew that I needed a brainwashing in a good way. Brainwashing doesn't have a good connotation, but I needed the washing of the Word in my brain, because you know what? I could not understand what I was reading in the Bible. I could not focus on it. I couldn't even meditate on it. I knew I had to, but I was having a hard time. And so what I did was I started listening to, you know, the messages on Sunday. They were on CD at the time, and I would play that CD for my 45-minute ride to and from work. I would play praise and worship music, you know, anytime I was in my car, and I just didn't let secular stuff in. And it really helped propel me forward. And so think about the things that you're letting into your eye gate, into your ear gate. These things are affecting the soul, and they can affect the soul in a good way or a negative way. And I found that when I started to just immerse myself in the things of God, that's when I started to see the testimonies. That's when I started to see the power of God move in healing. I had somebody who worked for me at work got healed based on a word that God gave me to give in an office setting. We're talking about something completely different, and God said, I want to heal this person. I said, do you need a healing? He says, yeah, I got into a car accident 2 years ago, and I can't even turn my whole in my neck without turning my whole body. And I saw that. That was true. He says, I used to teach martial arts, and I've had to stop that. And I said, well, you know what? God can heal you completely. That's how he did it. I didn't even have to lay hands on him. All I had to do was say, God can heal you completely. And then the next day, he's chasing me through the production department, through the manufacturing area, saying, hey, I have had no pain. So when you immerse yourself in the things of God, do you ever ask yourself, where is the power of God in my life? Where is it? It's not him. It's not the word that's flawed. What's going on? What's the disconnect? And really, there's so many things in this world that are even designed to distract us from God. That if you're not intentionally looking to immerse yourself in the things of God, your default will be worldly, and you will forever be asking, where is the power of God? The only time you'll see it is when he sovereignly moves on your behalf, which he has the right to do whenever he wants to. But you know, as people, you know, it talks about in the Bible babies, you know, drinking milk, but then it talks about being more mature and being able to, you know, cut into some meat. Well, you know, as we mature, you know, the things that God used to do when we were babies, he doesn't do those things for us. He expects us to start doing some stuff for ourselves. You know, at one point, my sons had to walk across the room to me without my help. And so the growing process in the Spirit is pretty similar, where, you know, you have these testimonies. If you remember back to your early testimonies, it's not because you did anything well, it's because God was sovereignly moving in your life. Not just to give you the testimony, but the whole way through it, to give you the strength to react and respond in the right way so that you could receive the testimony. His hand was in every single part of it. But there is a time when it's time to grow up, and we should be growing up. We should be growing up and walking in the Spirit more and more, obeying the Word more and more, reading the Word more and more, right? So that the Holy Spirit, wow, now people are looking and say, hey, I recognize the Holy Spirit in you. So the Word is the anchor for our soul. Ephesians 4:13-15 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to, what? Grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. James 1:4-6, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in what? Without what? For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Our level of doubt should be changing, right? The only way that the Word can be an anchor for our soul is if we accept the Word as absolute truth, apply the Word to every aspect of our life, and walk in obedience to the Word. Doesn't the Bible itself say, be doers of the Word, so that we're not deceived into thinking we're something we're not? That's, every time I hear that one, it's like a jab, just a check, a little heart check there. It means that we know it. It means that we rely on it. It means that we find comfort in it, direction in it. We allow it to transform us, and we look more and more like it every day. We do need to be a people who are in the Word, who are doers of the Word, and we have to take an active stand when doubt rears its ugly head and not just allow it to steal the Word from us. So now I'm going to start closing. Let the Word of God be your anchor, to keep you firmly in the Spirit by keeping your minds set on the things of the Spirit. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove by your actions, by what you do, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In Romans 8:5, as we already read, for those who are according to the flesh set their what? On what? Things of the flesh. But those who walk, who are according to the Spirit, on the things of the Spirit. You see, the Word has got everything we need. The Word has the direction that we need even for how to walk in the Spirit. And he doesn't make it impossible for us. He doesn't even make it really hard for us. He makes it very simple. When you realize that this is the Word of God, it's even more valuable than we ever thought that it was. It gets only more valuable the more we learn about it, doesn't it? Take in the Word, meditate on it day and night. Walking in the Spirit for those who have his Spirit is an obligation. It's not one or the other. It's not I can either be in the Spirit or I can listen to my wife. It's not I can be in the Spirit or play with my kids. It's not I can be in the Spirit or go to work. It's not that at all. Do you think he would separate us from our wives, from our children? Do you think he would cause us to be, ineffective at work? Spending all of our time in our office or wherever we work in the Spirit? No, the idea is to do both at the same time. And when you add the Spirit, everything that you do, even in the natural, just gets that much better. You do your job better. You're a better dad. You're a better mom. You're a better wife. You're a better husband. You're a better brother. You're a better sister. Do you believe that? If you want a relationship with your Heavenly Father, you can have one, and to the extent that you want it. Do you want to walk in His plan for your life? We heard about plan early. He has a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. Do you want to walk in that? I know you do. This is how we find out what that is we walk in the Spirit. So, I mean, I really hope you're encouraged this morning and not discouraged. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." For everyone who says, "Yes, I desire to do the will of God," that's him started. He started the work in you, that you can even say that. There's some evidence there that he's working in you if you can even say, "I want to walk in the will of God." And I think everybody says that here. He's working in you already. But again, as we grow up, it takes more of us to make it happen. And so that's what we need to contend with the soul. We need to fill the soul, our eyes and ear gates, with the things of the Spirit, with the things of God. And you will see the body start to turn in that direction. You'll see the body start to turn in the direction of serving God and of walking in His plan. The Bible says, "Acknowledge Him in all of your ways," and He will do what? He will direct your path. He never sets us up for failure. He gave us His Word, and He gave us His Holy Spirit in order to make it possible for us. Can you say, "Thank you, Lord"? Hallelujah. So that's what I have to share for this morning. Thank you.